Those of you who know me, you know I lose my keys and phone all the time, so you're not surprised by the fact that I left my Bible in my office. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we journey through scriptures, may it ultimately be about walking with you. May it be about knowing you. And also, may it be about ultimately sharing who you are. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the one that brings conviction, the one that brings change in our lives, the one that brings comfort, the one that inspires, and more. We ask for the Holy Spirit for each person here so that your scriptures may come alive and that we will hear and see what you would have us to hear and see. Would you also bless my lips, my tongue, that you would grant me the words to speak. May it not be my own words, Lord, but help me to share what you place in my heart. We ask these things in your name. Amen. You know, we often pray in the name of Jesus. And so I entitled our message, In the Name of Jesus. It's not, hello, my name is Jesus. That's just a slide. It's actually In the Name of Jesus. And for those of you who are doing the worksheet, the kids, the key word is really simple. It's just Jesus. The key word is Jesus. Scripture says that, something's not right. They jumbled it out, huh? We'll figure it out, no problem. I think it's going backwards. For the most part, let's see. I don't know how that's going to work, but we'll make it work. Let's see. Let's start with this. Scripture says, whatever you ask in my name, that I would do so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything, if you ask me anything in my name, I would do it. Do you believe that, by the way? If you ask anything in the name of Jesus and in my name, I would do it. Do you believe that? Yes. Why is it that we often may pray in the name of Jesus, yet nothing happens? Some time ago, at a different church, a church far away, right after prayer meeting, a dear sister pulls me aside and says, Pastor, we need to start praying in the name of Jesus. My cousin's church has been doing that, and they've seen some amazing things happening at that church. And so what she meant by that was that at prayer meeting, we must invoke the name of Jesus and literally just focus it on Jesus. Now, it cannot be the fact that just because you say the name Jesus that things just happen, right? Otherwise, it's like abracadabra, then boom, it happens, right? Jesus doesn't work that way. So what does scriptures mean when it says we have to pray, we have to ask in his name, that, and then if we ask anything according to his name, he would do it? Let me also qualify that by saying this. Just because we say the name of Jesus doesn't mean that we get whatever we want, right? Now, if that were so, it would be kind of like manipulating God. Okay, I want a Lamborghini in the name of Jesus. Then boom, we expect it doesn't work. Oh, Alan said amen. But it doesn't work that way. Invoking his name does not twist God's arm, nor does it manipulate him to do what we are asking him to do. It means something else. In other words, by associating the name of Jesus to our prayers, does it sanctify our carnal prayers? It does not. Just because we are using the name of Jesus, it does not make our will God's will. That answer is clear. Long ago, very long ago, when I was in the seventh grade, the school year had just started, and it was in the middle of Spanish class. I want to say it was like second or third period. It doesn't really matter. But I do remember it was in the middle of Spanish class. Along comes a new student. He walked in the door, And the teacher introduced them as, class, everyone, meet Jesus. And at the time, I didn't think really anything of it. But at some point later, I happened to see the name on his paper, and to my surprise, it was spelled J-E-S-U-S, right? If you speak Spanish, that's pronounced Jesus. And it totally caught me off guard because I had never met a person named Jesus before. In fact, in the Korean circles, you won't ever meet a person named Yesu, or at least I don't think you will. So it was very uncommon for us, and it seemed almost sacrilegious, right? Almost like heresy to name your child Jesus. But in my child's mind, I was thinking, this kid must be some kind of angelic being for her parents, for his parents to name him Jesus, right? He must be have some kind of like super spiritual, like I don't know, Christ-like, like miraculous birth or something. But it didn't take me long to discover this new kid named Jesus or Jesus was not so angelic. In fact, if he was like an angel, he was more closely resembling a fallen angel than an actual angel. This kid had trouble written all over him, right? And I hope that he turned out okay when he got older. But I just remember thinking, man, this kid is like one of the worst kids at school, and his name Jesus. What a contradiction. Now, if the name of Jesus has special powers, that name, by giving him that name, it would have sanctified this child, and he would not be this terrible kid, right? But it doesn't work that way, right? There is no special power to the letters J-E-S-U-S. It's ultimately the person behind the name, which we're going to get to, but it's not simply the name, but it's really the person behind the name that we have faith in. Growing up, some of you have also heard my stories as growing up, and one of my best friends, his name was Emmanuel, and in our early teenage years, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, he and I were like two peas in a pod. We did everything together. And Emmanuel, for those of you who know what it means God with us, right? And we called him Manny for short. And Manny and I, we did everything together, including getting into some trouble. Now, when I mean trouble, I don't mean that we stole cars or got into fights, but it was more like during worship service, we would sneak out, and then we would climb the roof of the church, like exploring and finding things. One time we found like a spider. We literally had a barbecue in the kitchen. I don't know why we did that, but we burned this poor spider alive, and we did stuff like that during worship service. And sometimes we would play jokes on other kids and stuff like that. That wasn't so nice. But whenever we got caught, you know who got the blame? Yeah, me, right? Because this kid, this Manny, had this angelic face, and me, this is me, so this is not angelic, right? And so he had this angelic face, and he knew how to play the part. When his parents come, he would give this angelic look, and me, I got the guilty look, right? So most of the time, I would ultimately get the blame. But what most people didn't know was Manny was the ringleader. He was the instigator of much of the foolishness that we did. His parents didn't like me very much, thinking that I was leading their child to a dark road of damnation, right? But really was the other way around. Maybe not. So the name Emmanuel, if it sanctifies, if it has special power in those specific letters, it would have sanctified my friend Manny, right? But it did not, which tells us the name Jesus is not a magical formula to do something special. The name Jesus doesn't sanctify an individual just because we are given a holy name to that person. Nor is the name of Jesus a magical word that sanctifies our prayers similarly, right? And just because we pray in his name doesn't grant us everything on our wish list. So what does it ultimately mean that we are to pray in his name and ask anything in his name, he shall do it? Let's look at the context of John chapter 14. And the context will reveal what it truly says. Let's see if we can find verses 8 to 11. No, we're going the wrong way. Yeah, we'll go with 9. That's good enough. Verse 9. So let's go to John chapter 14. I'm definitely going to need my Bible for this one. John chapter 14. It starts off by verse 8 saying this. Philip, one of the disciples, said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's good enough for us. But verse 9, instead of Jesus painting this picture with words, he says, look, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So what he's saying is that, look, if you want to know who the Father is, if you want an accurate picture of who Jesus is, my life, my character, all of that reflects the Father in its entirety. Verse 10, do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, and the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. And so we're going to see this pattern where Jesus seems to paint a picture that he is the perfect reflection. What's that? Reflection of the Father in heaven. God's character is Christ's character. God's heart is Jesus' heart. God's purpose is Jesus' purpose. He and the Father in perfect unison, perfect harmony. They are one mind, one purpose, one heart. Then when we get to verse 12, there is a shift, and this is an important shift. Now, before, the verses focused on the relationship between Jesus and the Father. Now, the shift focused on relationship between Jesus and the disciples, which means the relationship is between Jesus and us. And verse 12 says this, most assuredly, I say to you, he, the disciples, us, he who believes in me, Jesus, the works that I do, he, the disciples, will also do. The greater works than these he, the disciples, will do, because I go to the Father. Do you see this dynamic between now is about Jesus and you, Jesus and the disciples. And it is in this context that we see verses 13 and 14. I figured it out. It's going backwards. So it is in this context that Jesus makes this statement, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Which what Jesus is saying is that to ask in my name, to ask in the Jesus, in the name of Jesus, means that we are to also reflect the character of Jesus, just like Jesus reflects the character of the Father. It means that our hearts must beat in sync with Jesus himself. It means that our purpose is to be one with the purpose of Jesus. In the same way Jesus reflects the Father. And when we pray in the character of Jesus, when we pray with our hearts in sync with Jesus, when we pray with the same purpose of Jesus, whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, we will receive. It is when we are one with Jesus, when we reflect his character and purpose, that Jesus gives you the desires of your heart. The Bible does promise that, right? He will give us the desires of your heart. You know what the problem is? The desires in our hearts are wrong. They are sinful. But when we bring it to Jesus, he purifies it, he ennobles our purpose, and when he sanctifies us, now everything that we desire in our starts is in harmony with what God already wants to give us. Now he's able to give you whatever you want, because now your heart is ultimately right with God. Ask him anything, and he will do it, because what we ask is in harmony with him already. Let me give you another biblical example. Acts 19, verses 11 and 12, and we're going to, this is an interesting story. It says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, go figure, and the evil spirits also went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so as well. So the picture is this. There's a whole bunch of people. They see Paul and some of the other disciples doing miracles. They are casting out evil spirits. And they're like, you know what? I want some of that action. Like they're getting a lot of praise. They're doing like some amazing stuff. I want to do the same thing. And they figured that the secret to Paul's power is that they invoked the name of Jesus. By saying the name of Jesus, they assumed that was the magic formula in which to cast out these demons. So instead of actually saying, we cast you out in the name of Jesus, they actually do it. We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. They had no relationship with Jesus. They had really little knowledge of what Jesus stood for, and they invoked his name, and it did not work. They commanded the evil spirits in the name of Jesus, thinking that this is the key to the miracle. But what? Look at verse 15. In fact, the NIV says this, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. So they command the evil spirits. And you know what happened? And the evil spirit answered and said, I know, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? The evil spirit states that, I know Jesus, I know his power, and I know Paul because Paul serves Jesus, and he has the power of Jesus, but who are you? I don't know who you are. You see, it wasn't so much that the evil spirits literally didn't know who this man was. It was more that these demonic spirits did not recognize Christ in them. The book of James says this, that demons know and fear God. So the reality is they knew about Jesus as the Son of God, and as a Savior and so forth. And they recognized Paul's authority and power because Paul also had the spirit and character of Jesus. But these eight Jews, they did not know Christ. They did not acknowledge Christ. They did not have faith in Christ. They did not have the mind or spirit of Christ. They did not have the character of Christ. So their authority was not acknowledged. They had no power to cast out this evil spirit from this man because Christ was not in them or with them. Verse 16, Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Can you imagine, like, basically, you're trying to do, an amazing work. You're like, I cast you out, demon. And the demon jumps up, that demon-possessed man jumps on top of you, rips off your clothes, beats you up, and you run out of your church butt naked, embarrassed, like just covering your face. That's what happened when they try to do the work of Jesus without Jesus. But the reality is, isn't that we often what we do as well? We try to do the work of Jesus without Jesus, in the sense that in order to be successful, we must have an active prayer life, asking God to work in us and through us. Yet sometimes we were so quick just to get the job done. You know, I really believe why so many evangelistic meetings fail, because we are focusing on the work and not so much in preparation and prayer. What I see in the book of Acts is that when people prayed fervently, God did amazing things. So if we want to see more amazing things happening in this church, we must become more of a praying church. By the way, we started a prayer meeting on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock, and so it's in the youth room. Every Sabbath, we are going to pray for people. If you want to be prayed for, come. If you have a prayer ministry, you want to pray for people, come join us. And I believe God's going to do amazing things as we pray in the name of Jesus, in his character, in sync with his heart, in sync with his purpose. And here's the irony of the whole situation in Acts. Verse 17 says this, "This became known both to Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them, and the name of Jesus was magnified." You know what's so ironic about that? Scriptures that whatever you ask in my name, that the Father will be glorified, right? Amen? Here, the Jewish exorcists tried to use the name of Jesus, and they failed. Why did they fail? Because this was not the religion of Christ. This was a false religion. And the Bible says that this caused the name of Jesus to be magnified because the false religion was identified, was pointed out. And because the false religion was exposed, Christ's name was glorified. And I'm gonna make an application here. False Christianity takes on the name of Christ and even claims the name of Jesus, but they do not reflect the faith, life, and character of Jesus. I'm going to say it again because it's very important. False Christianity, false discipleship of Jesus, we may take on the name of Jesus and even claim the name of Jesus, but if we do not reflect his faith, his life, his character, it is a false religion. It is a false Christianity. So to take on the name of Jesus is more than just invoking his name. We must be transformed to reflect the faith, life, and character of Jesus. Matthew 15:18 says this, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Mrs. White says this, and we're going to close with these last statements. Desire of Ages, pages 668. "To pray in Christ's name means much. It means that we are to accept his character, manifest his spirit, and work his works." Amen? One more. Steps of Christ. Jesus said, "You shall ask in my name that whatever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you." But to pray in the name of Jesus is something more than the mere mention of that name at the beginning, at the end of a prayer. It is to pray in the mind and spirit of Jesus while we believe his promises, rely upon his grace, and work his works. So you see how basically to pray in the name of Jesus is not just simply mentioning his name. Whenever we invoke the name of Jesus, whether it's in prayer, in preaching, or doing miracles, it can only be done as we have the mind, the heart, and the spirit of Jesus. That's where your authority comes from. That's where our authority comes from. There lies in the power. Now, the question is this, and we're going to close with this, and there's a million-dollar question. How do you get the character of Christ? How do you get the same heart of Christ? How do you get the spirit of Christ? And here's the amazing thing. Over the years, I've changed my mind on what prayer is for. We often think prayer is for petitions, asking God for things that he may grant it to us. I think that is only a minor part of what prayer is. I am of the full conviction that the true purpose of prayer is to actually transform us into the image of Jesus. The more time we spend with Jesus, he is transforming us in the time of meditation, in the time of solitude with Jesus, in the time of communing with Jesus. Those are the opportunity where the Holy Spirit begins to mold your thoughts, mold the desires of your heart, mold your life, mold your action in the sense that we are being changed from our image to the image of God. It may sound that simple, and I understand that's only one part of the formula. Bible study, the word is a huge part of the other formula too. But the reality is this, if we are not a praying people, we will never become we will never possess the character of Jesus. Church, my prayer for us is this. I can't change you. You can't change yourself. But you know who can? Jesus, right? And it's going to be as we consecrate ourselves to Jesus, especially in prayer, God's going to change you. Your heart will start to beat in sync with his heart. Your purpose will be his, it will be in line with his purpose. And your character, day by day, will start to reflect the character of Jesus. May we each become a person and a church of prayer. God bless you guys.